Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to Better Living, a show about the people and organizations that make an impact in our area. I'm your host, Nick Carissimi. Coming up on today's show, author M.T. Webb joins me in studio to discuss his new book, The Needy Greedy Dilemma, as well as what's going on with his group, N Concepts. Up first is the executive director and founder of an organization called Heavenly Mimi. Allison Bird Haley, how are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for joining me today. I always like to mention who recommended my guest, because it's an extra pump for them.
Absolutely.
And this is always how I get my interviews. Allison Duarte with Team Mercy hooked us up, and she had great things to say about you. She's a wonderful organization.
Absolutely.
She's actually set me up with a lot of different people.
Yes, so She's had a list.
And so she's been very gracious with that. But we are focusing on Heavenly Mimi today. So once again, thanks for joining me. We always start out with the basics. What is Heavenly Mimi? What do you guys do?
Okay, so Heavenly Mimi is a nonprofit I founded personally 5 years ago. It is an organization that helps cancer patients, and not breast cancer, just lung cancer. We help any type of cancer and any age range with expenses.
It's a wide
variety.
We're in radio, but I'm using my hands.
Yes.
I mean, that's nearly, you're basically helping anybody on the planet.
Absolutely. I don't want to ever say, I'm so sorry we can't help because you don't have that type of cancer. And it stems from my mom, who the charity is founded after, Mimi, who had a unknown primary cancer. So that's a very rare type of cancer. So I didn't ever want to say, I can't help you because you got this rare type of cancer.
What type of cancer was it?
Unknown primary. Basically, it means they have no idea where it started. So 5% of Americans get it. They don't have no idea where it started. And so it's very hard to treat some of that type of cancer.
I've never heard of that type of cancer before. I'm sure it was a shock to you guys as well.
Shock.
You're saying that you work with anybody that has cancer.
Yes.
Was that part of that maybe she didn't feel like she fit into a group? Because you hear about breast cancer, you hear about prostate cancer and lung cancer, you hear about different forms, leukemia, you hear about these different forms.
Right.
But not that. So was there a feeling of not belonging in a weird sense?
Well, it was not knowing how to treat it. That was the most frustrating part, because you treat certain types of cancer, certain types of therapies like chemo, radiation. So that was a little bit frustration. But it also is my son, who was a 20-year survivor. He had retinoblastoma. And so 20 years ago, that cancer was rare. And so we had to go to Philadelphia to see a doctor.
How old was he?
He was 15 months old. So we've been impacted twice in our family, in our immediate family, with cancer that is a rare type of cancer. So, and I've never heard of a retinoblastoma foundation. So I wanted to never discriminate. I wanted to help anybody that I can, because I know it is needed out there.
We will talk about this, but that's extraordinary that you have these two very rare forms of cancer, I would say. How do you find out that a 15-month-old has a serious illness?
So his eyes were crossing, and I thought, you know what? Let's just go get him some glasses. So we went to the eye doctor, and I was like, hey, let's just put some glasses on him, and let's get him on his merry way. And he's like, there's something odd behind his eye. And he says, I think it's just a minor thing, but I want to send you the specialist. And then we found out the next day it was cancer, and they wanted us to go to Philadelphia, which was a shock, because, you know, we're like devastated, and my 15-month-old was just happy as can be. And what blessing, I think, of him having it so young is he doesn't remember anything.
Was that your first child?
No, it was my second child. So I had a 3-year-old and I had this 15-month-old, and, you know, we're on a plane and it's not very fun with a 15-month-old on a plane, but
right.
My mom was there. And so it was definitely a blessing. And we got good news as far as his health wasn't in jeopardy at that time. His eye absolutely was. So we would have to, you know, start treatment as soon as possible.
One eye or both?
One eye. So he's blind in the left eye, but he doesn't know anything different. He had that tumor when he was born. So that's the way he's always seen, and that it's not like he got it taken away. That's how he's always been. So
he doesn't know any different.
He doesn't know any different.
How long was the treatment for him?
So the treatment, about in and out of the doctors, everything that we had to do, a good almost a year, you know?
Yeah. Did he lose his eye because of treatment?
No, his eye is still there, but the tumor's still there. He's 22, about to be 23 in October. The tumor's still there. That's what blocks his vision. The tumor's just dead.
Wow.
Yes.
Did you have to tell him at a certain point that he had cancer? How does that work?
At
a 15-month-old, you wouldn't know.
Right. No. I mean, we eventually, when he got older, I had to explain to him that he would have to sit in the front row at school because he had a vision impairment. And he was okay until he hit middle school. And he's like, don't tell anybody. I don't want to be, you know, considered special. So, and then I was like, all right, mom's backing off. But yeah, this was his life, and he learned how to deal with it. But, I mean, he's got a scar from a port, so he understands he had a port in his chest. And then, you know, people don't talk about this, and I talked to other cancer survivors that after you go through treatment is a blessing. And, you know, it's a great thing that you recovered, but there's still side effects from treatment. So when he entered his teenage years, he started having more emotional troubles than normal teenager would be. And I think that I knew that could happen because when I signed the consent, I was like, I don't care what's going to happen in his teenage years. I'm saving his life today. And so people don't talk about that. They don't talk about you can have, you know, you can be tired all the time. You can have no focus. And they think it's just a normal thing.
Because of the chemicals?
Because what we put in our body, yeah, because of the treatment. And because, I mean,
you never hear anything about
that. No, you don't. And I wish people would talk about that. I think people are thinking you should be blessed, you're a survivor, and go on. And people are blessed. I have a great friend that she's a 25-year survivor, and she's so blessed every day. But she was so tired for years and just got passed over by doctors saying, you know what, just be happy you survived. And she's like, I am happy, but I need something to help me. And so, of course, you know, she's now doing well because she found things help her, like vitamins and just, but yeah, it's a tough thing that people don't want to talk about.
How's your health?
My health is good. Yeah.
Have these experiences made you more paranoid about your own body, or have they made you, you know, hyper aware of what you're putting in?
Yeah. So yeah, it makes you very hyper aware. And then I'm very get checked. Screen is key. Prevention's key. I mean, I'll tell people I'm 43. I had a mammogram when I was 35. I had one every year since. So I'm vigilant. And then also I've had a colonoscopy. I'm 44 and I've had two colonoscopies. And I had one when I was 39 and I just had one last year. And it was precancerous, which is no big deal because colon cancer moves slowly. But what if I waited till the 50 age where you're supposed to have it?
Sure.
I could have gotten cancer, but I just want to have people know that they need to go out there and be checked. And then they need to know what their family history is, because if you have any family history, you need to make sure you are on top of it.
Working to normalize these things.
Yes.
Talking about them, letting people know that, be proactive. That's a big message that you guys
proactive,
push.
Yes. Because stage 1, stage 4 cancer is very different. So, and then, you know, men need to get their prostate checked, and then women need their mammograms. And you just need to be, you're an advocate. Like, you know, if you think something's wrong and the doctor says you're fine, doctors are great, but you need to go to the doctor that you want that tells you, okay, we're going to figure out what's going on. Because a lot of times I've heard people are passed over and then they find out they've got, you know, not just cancer, but some other issues, which is awful because it's worse now. And then if they had it, you know, 6 months ago and been diagnosed, it'd been a lot different.
Your mother, Mimi.
Yes.
Got this very odd form of cancer. She didn't know what to do with it. How did your family deal with it at first? Because I think that would kind of dictate the journey that this organization has gone through.
Right.
Where you've been through it not once but twice.
Right.
But very different circumstances.
Very different circumstances.
And it's going to imprint on the organization later. So how was this journey for you guys?
So when my mom was diagnosed, I was shocked because she was healthy except she smoked. So, I mean, that's not really healthy, but she was really good about getting all her screenings, but she smoked. So that was not a healthy thing. And I mean, she passed at 63, but she smoked for 45 years
wow.
because, you know, in that generation, you smoked when you
completely
were a teenager.
Different thing.
So, and, but yeah, I mean, it was a shock. And I was like, we're going to get you treatment. We're going to do this. And when we found out that it was, you know, metastasized all over her body, we knew that, you know, it wouldn't be very long. And, you know, she passed 3 months after diagnosis. And that was very shocking to me. And it bothers me because the chemo just made her so sick and she died feeling sick. And I hated that.
Describe why you would say that it was shocking. Was it the speed of it? Was it the just... it was thrust upon you when you say that. It sounds like a stupid question.
No, it's not a stupid question. I think what it was is that she was like going to the doctors every year, getting her mammograms, and then all of a sudden the cancer's everywhere. I'm thinking, why wasn't there more of a sign? Why is it, hey, it's everywhere and this is how it is? And
snuck
so
in.
Another shock was the doctor, and like I said, doctors do not know all. They said she had 5 years and she lived 3 months. So I was like, it's a little bit different. And I understand you cannot know because it is a case by case. You can have two people with the same type of cancer. One lives, one doesn't live. And you just don't know why. It's just how it is, unfortunately.
All right. So Mimi has passed.
Yes.
When did you think about starting an organization like this to help people that have been in the situation that you've been in?
So I always knew I wanted to do something to pay it forward, especially when my son was diagnosed. I was going through a divorce, so I was like, how am I going to meet? How am I going to get to Philadelphia to see the specialist? And we went 10-plus times. So I found charities that helped us with airfare, not just my airfare, not just my son's airfare, but also my mom's airfare, because they wanted her to be there for moral support.
Was that hard for you? It's come up a lot when I'm in interviewing organizations
sure.
where people talk about the idea of being able to accept help. That a lot of times for people, it's really hard at first, and then they figure out what a lifesaver and what a life-changing experience it actually can be.
Right. I think it's hard for people to ask for help, and I didn't want to, but I knew I needed the help to help my family, and that was the thing. You know, I had a younger child. I had, you know, a child at home. You know, my younger child has cancer, so what am I supposed to do? So hotel stays got paid for every time I went to Philadelphia. So I was very blessed about that, and I thought, one day I'll pay it forward. And then, you know, time goes on. My kids were healthy. I remarried. All was well. And then, 8 years ago, my mom gets diagnosed. And so that threw me for a loop. And she passed, like I said, very shortly after that. And I thought, okay, I want to do something. But I wanted to wait till my son, who had cancer, graduated high school. So a couple years after that, he graduated. And I thought, I'm going to start this organization. You know, I want it to be in memory of the person that meant the most to me, other than my children. My husband is my mom, who was there from, you know, of course, day one. So that's what we did in memory of her, because she had a giving heart. And I think when you're in the charity world, that is the best thing. You've got to have a heart behind it.
Had you worked or been a part of charities before?
I volunteered, but to go from being not in that charity world to being in the charity world, you learn a lot quickly, you know?
You would have to.
You do.
So you started this organization in 2014?
2014, yes.
All right. Talk to me about that, because you said there was a little bit of time after the illness, and I guess your son was still in school, and that was probably that gap. And then you decided to start Heavenly Mimi. What was your first function? Like, what did you want to do with this organization originally?
So I always wanted to help with expenses, and that's what we do. Because research is great, and there's so many great organizations that help with research, but I wanted to help with the immediate issue.
But because that's what you needed
yes,
in your time of
need. Yes, that's what I needed. Yes, that's what I needed. Because I get phone calls like, I can't get to treatment because I don't have the money to pay for gas, which I'm like, that's awful. Or I can't pay the doctor, and I'm like, that's not good.
So that's where we're at, yes, with Heavenly Mimi. Yes. I'm speaking with Allison Bird Haley. She's the executive director and founder of Heavenly Mimi. You can find them online at heavenlymimi.org. Real quick, before we get to the functions and programs you guys offer, talk to me about the name, when you decided on the name. We know who Mimi is now.
Right.
It's a very original and unique name. Right. Tell me about this.
So, I mean, I believe she's a heavenly spirit, and so I thought it would be a great thing to have in conjunction with Mimi. And my mom, when I had my oldest, she was like, I don't know what I want to be called. I don't want to be called Grandma. And her name was Marilyn, and she was a mom. And she says Mimi is just a cool name. So I thought, and she loved, I mean, any grandparent will say, I loved being a grandparent better than a parent, because it is hard. And I understand. Me and my husband, we have 5 kids. It is hard. So it was a just an honor to her. And so every time that I hear the name, I see the website, it makes me think of her. And doesn't make me think of, oh, she's, you know, no longer here, or she was sick. It makes me feel like her spirit, her legacy is moving on within me. And then eventually when I, you know, pass, then when my children will take it over.
It's really funny. My little sister calls my grandmother Mimi, but no one else did. It was just the only thing that she could say at a certain time. So it's really funny that.
Oh, that's lovely.
Very interesting. All right, let's talk about the actual programs and services that you guys are offering. You've mentioned that it's about helping people with quick payments, things that people need to get done right now to continue fixing themselves or their family members.
Right.
So what are the 3 main components, let's say, or the main things that you work on?
So we help with gas cards, and that is our number one request, so they can get to and from treatment. We will help with medical bills, because that is a stressor. And, you know, the leading cause of bankruptcy is medical debt.
Right.
You know, that's unfortunate. You know, you can't help when you get sick. You've got to go to the doctor, and here's the medical debt. It's not like you know, can wait and not go to the doctor. And then we also will help with hotel stays. So if you're more than 45 miles from a treatment facility, we want to assist, because it would be horrible to go back and forth. Let's say you were in Sherman, come back and forth to Dallas every day. That's just not a, you know, good experience to be in the car, and you're probably nauseated, you're not feeling well, and you're going back and forth. So if you're in a hotel and you're a mile from the treatment facility, that's what we want to do to help comfort you.
Do you do any work with people that have to take airplane rides? You
not
were in
yet.
The unfortunate position to have to go from here to Philly.
Right.
So are you you're not doing that yet?
Not yet, because we only help right now in the state of Texas. So, you know, the most that we have had people go to, the furthest is, of course, MD Anderson in Houston.
I was going to ask about that with the areas. On the website, which once again is heavenlymimi.org, I saw that it's helping with medical bills, gas cards, hotel stays, and you do a few other things. But those are that's kind of your bread and butter.
Yes.
So I'm figuring that they're going to be going to specific places.
Correct.
So where are most of the people that are receiving your services from the DFW area?
Yes, most of them are. But MD Anderson wanted to partner up with us this year, which I am so grateful.
That's cool.
We get a lot from the outskirts, and honestly, they are cities I can't even remember, but they're so small cities that people are coming to MD Anderson in Houston because they need treatment.
So most of the time, it's just bouncing between Houston and here for most of the treatment that people are getting.
Yes.
Did MD Anderson contact you guys?
Yes.
That must have been exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting because they're like, we heard about you. I'm like, I'm so happy.
How did that happen?
I just got a phone call one day, and they're like, hey, we've heard about Heavenly Mimi. We've heard good things, and we'd like to see if we can partner up and send some patients your way. I'm like, absolutely.
That's great.
It's been great because, you know, I love helping where I'm from, you know, in DFW, but I want to expand and help further. And then, you know, at time we want to help in certain regions. And then, of course, you know, throughout the United States.
Let's talk about the size of this organization.
Okay.
How many people work for or at Heavenly Mimi?
So we're all volunteers, and, you know, we have great board members, and I have wonderful board members, so there's 5 of us.
And bigger than I was going to expect.
Yeah, so, I mean, okay. It's, you know, it's a great organization that helps people that, you know, want to be part of the cancer community, can be a board member. And, you know, then throughout the year, we have volunteers that will help through certain events or just do certain projects.
How has this organization grown? There was some stats on the website. I don't remember what the numbers were, but it looks like this is growing quickly.
Quickly. So every year, as long as we go up, that's what I care for. But, you know, I hate to say it. It doesn't matter if there's 100 Heavenly Mimis. There never will be enough because cancer is so rapid. And people need help. And it's an awful thing that I think in my mind, maybe one day I'll have to say no because we don't have the funding. And that makes me, it gives me some momentum to definitely go out there and get these donations.
That is a question that I do like to ask. How big is too big? Are you guys in a good spot right now size-wise?
Yes.
Or are you worried about growing too fast?
No, I'm not worried about growing too fast because when I started the organization, I made sure I wasn't like, okay, I've got the website, let's do it. For the first year, I just networked. I got my feet on the ground, got to know who I need to know to make this organization do well and not make huge mistakes, you know? So I make sure that we walk very slowly. And, of course, we picked it up sometimes. We've had to, but I want to make sure that what we do is right.
Did you start this by yourself, or did you have a team of people that were working with you?
No, I started it by myself. I was like, I'm going to do this. And I'm like, my husband's like, okay. And so then, of course, I got a board on really quick, but it was just an idea. And this is what my mom would say, that Allison just, when she gets her idea, it just goes quickly.
Okay. So you like to latch on to something and go for it.
Right. Sometimes I don't think about, okay, I should have done this. But you know what? It's been a blessing.
Sometimes that's good.
It is a good thing.
When you just, you're going, and then you can look back and think, well, that maybe wasn't the best way to do it. But you're already so far down the road usually at that point that
You don't overthink it. It's sometimes a good thing.
Yes, I think it's a very good thing. Talk to me about the first family that you helped. You started this organization.
Yes.
You got to start somewhere.
Right.
I could almost guarantee you remember the situation and those people.
Right, I do. So it was a young lady. She was in her 30s. She had a young daughter and a husband, and she had breast cancer. So she contacted us because she needed a gas card. So, you know, I was very willing to help her, got her the gas card. And I always handwrite a letter or note, and it's from me. So it's not like, you know, they get in this form letter and it goes to everybody. It is, you know, custom to who I'm, you know, writing to. It's a child, a man, a woman. And it depends on their age range. And it depends on what type of cancer. So I submitted that. And then I got feedback that she really appreciated. She sent me this long letter. And I still have it that she thinks that what I'm doing is great, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm so blessed, but she's like, you're the true hero, but she's really a true hero. She's going through cancer. I'm not, you know? And I think about people that go through cancer and everything they go through, and I've seen it, like I said, with my son and my mom, but I've never personally experienced it. And a little off topic, I had a shoulder injury, so I had to have an MRI. And I'm very claustrophobic, and I'm just thinking to myself, I'm complaining because I'm having this stupid MRI, but I'm thinking, how many cancer patients have not just one MRI, multiple MRIs for the rest of their life? When they're diagnosed, they have a lot, but then for the rest of their life, I'm thinking, Allison, you need to buck it up and not complain. So, and I feel that way, like when I get a common cold, I think, okay, I'm blessed to have my health.
Is that the impact that this organization has had on you personally?
Yes.
Would you say it's the idea of not complaining, or is it the idea of just understanding and appreciating what you actually have?
I think appreciating what I have. And, you know, I remember my mom telling me, I had an aunt that had a horrible illness for years, but she was very well off. She was very wealthy. And my mom's like, I would not ever have that for the world. I'd rather have my health than have money. She says, when you have your health, you can do anything. You know, when you have your health, you can work, you can do this, you can do that. When you don't have your health, it is a major impact, not just on you, but your family and society, what you could do more in society because you don't have, you know, your health.
And that's why you're getting checked all the time.
Yes, that's why I'm getting checked. I mean, I'm like telling my kids, you know, wear your sunscreen. And it's hard because my two oldest are 25 and, you know, 22. And how can you tell them to do that?
They'll start wearing it eventually.
Right. I'm like, oh, can I see them later?
They'll learn.
Right.
Heavenly Mimi is the organization. You can find them online at heavenlymimi.org. How many people are receiving your services?
So we get about 30 applications a month. So we try to help everybody we can every month with applications. And what makes us unique is, I was telling somebody earlier today, a lot of organizations will help quarterly. We will help monthly. So we will help the beginning of every month. We check the applications.
Was there a reason why you chose to do it monthly?
The reason why is, let's say you do it every quarter. So right now, we're in the second quarter. We just finished the first quarter. So that would mean applications have to come through, and you wouldn't know till the summertime. Well, people need to get to treatment before the summertime. They need a treatment ASAP. So that's the one reason why, is because you can't wait to get to treatment or pay a medical bill.
So each month there is a process of applications for everybody that's a part of this organization.
Yes.
You check that out, and then you cut checks to whoever is met your criteria.
Yes. So we send them usually a Quick Trip gas card.
Okay.
And then if they want a medical bill, we will pay the medical bill to, let's say, Texas Oncology. If they need a hotel stay, then we will contact the hotel, let's say Marriott, and pay it to, directly to Marriott. So that's what we try to do. We try to ease that burden.
How do most people find you guys?
Social workers and then word of mouth.
Social workers and word of mouth.
Yes.
Like you're saying, the people at MD Anderson contacted you guys. So obviously there was conversations
there
that were happening.
Right.
And then they contacted you.
Right.
So do you have a lot of return customers? Are you with people through this journey? Or is it you're in a hard spot this month, let's get you through that type thing?
So what our criteria is, we will help once a year. So if we helped you in April of 2019, we'll help you again 2020. And we have had, you know, because cancer is not a year thing. Sometimes it's a year, sometimes it's 10 years. So we will get, you know, people asking us for assistance again, which we are more than happy to help. And then we try to let people know. They get my business card in their envelope. If you have any questions, just call me. If you need someone to talk to, call me. Because sometimes they can't talk to a family member, and I want them to know they have someone that they can lean on.
When people do talk to you and confide in you, what are the things that they are talking to you about? Is it fears? Is it genuine questions? Is it just they just need to vent a little bit? When you do get that phone call, what is it normally about?
I think they want to vent, and I think they have some fears, and they can't tell their spouse, or they don't want to tell their children. And I think they just want someone that is outside the box to talk to. So I try to be that person, and I want them to know that someone cares. Not like, hi, this is Allison with Heavenly Mimi. Your gas card's going to be sent out, and you have a great day. You know, I don't want that. I want them to know someone cares. And they will express to me that what they're going through. And then, you know, I don't like unload my personal stuff, but I will say, you know, to a mother, I understand as a mother I had a child with cancer, or I understand as a daughter my mom, you know, and this is how I felt. And so I validate them. This is, you have every right to feel that way. Because I think sometimes people think, am I just being a complainer, or should I? Yeah.
So I can't imagine the mix of emotions that a person would feel at that point. Do you get a lot of those phone calls?
Yes, I do. And then at Christmas time, we send them a Christmas card. And so they have that, you know. And I want them to know that people care. It's not like, hey, here's your gas card, or here we paid for your hotel stay or medical bill, and good luck to you. We want to know. And I say, hey, call me. I want you to call me when you say, listen, I'm recovered. I'm in remission. This is what's going on. And, you know, I do have that fear that I'm going to call somebody and I'm going to be told, because it's happened, that they unfortunately passed away. And that's the devastation.
But do you hear from the people that go into remission?
Yes.
Is that kind of part of the deal where you need to contact me? Because that would be a question that I would never be able to get out of my head if I was doing the work that you're doing. I'd always be wondering.
Right. And there are people that I really feel like more of a bond to, because they may have something that's similar in my experiences in life that I want to know. And I treat the same way and say, you call me if you need anything. You call me if you have any questions. You keep me updated. I want to know what is going on with your recovery, good and bad. Hopefully more good than bad, but yes.
Has this personal touch always been a part of the organization?
Yes.
Was it always important to you?
Yes, because it was important when I received it. And
so you did receive it when you were getting the
help? I did. And so my friend and I used to joke, there was this lady that helped us through an organization. Her name was Linda. And my friend and I would talk about this lady, and we would say Aunt Linda, because she was like an aunt, because she cared so much about me and my family. So I feel like, you know, God put this in my path. And someone told me one day that my mom passing was a blessing. I'm like, no, it wasn't. And she didn't mean ugly. She meant that my mom passing was a blessing I could pass on to others. You know, my mom is gone, and that's unfortunate, but her legacy will live on, and I'm trying to help people that do get this unfortunate disease, because I hate to say it, everyone knows with somebody with cancer.
Don't ever stop with the handwritten letters.
Right.
There's nothing better than, all mail today is complete junk.
It is.
And when you get a handwritten letter, they're amazing, and there is some kind of magic to it, so I loved hearing You say that you did that.
Appreciate
I love that.
That.
That's great. Well, the organization is Heavenly Mimi. You can find them online at heavenlymimi.org. I've been speaking with their executive director and founder, Allison Bird Haley. It was great speaking with you.
Thank you.
I'd love to have you back in.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.